So in Psalm 102, it has an inscription, and as we all know, that the inscriptions are scripture. Psalm 102 in the Hebrew Bible has 29 verses because the inscription is verse 1 in the Hebrew Bible. A prayer of the afflicted when he is overwhelmed and pours out his complaint before the Lord. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me in the day of my trouble. Incline your ear to me. In the day that I call, answer me speedily. For my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned like a hearth. My heart is stricken and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. Because of the sound of my groaning, my bones cling to my skin. I am like a pelican of the wilderness. I am like an owl of the desert. I lie awake and am like a sparrow alone on the housetop. My enemies reproach me all day long. Those who deride me swear an oath against me. For I've eaten ashes like bread and mingled my drink with weeping because of your indignation and your wrath. For you have lifted me up and cast me away. My days are like a shadow that lengthens, and I wither away like grass. Verse 12, but you, O Lord, shall endure forever, and the remembrance of your name to all generations. You will arise and have mercy on Zion, for the time to favor her, yes, the set time has come. For your servants take pleasure in her stones and show favor to her dust. So the nations shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth your glory. For the Lord shall build up Zion. He shall appear in his glory. He shall regard the prayer of the destitute and shall not despise their prayer. This will be written for the generation to come, that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord. Verse 19, for he looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven the Lord viewed the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to release those appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem, when the peoples are gathered together and the kingdoms to serve the Lord. Verse 23, he weakened my strength in the way, he shortened my days. I said, O my God, do not take me away in the midst of my days. Your years are throughout all generations. Of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will endure. Yes, they will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will change them, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end. The children of your servants will continue, and their descendants will be established before you. Psalm 102, an awesome psalm. And since I've had 2 weeks to meditate upon it, hopefully the notes that I made for last week, which we didn't use, will be just as fresh today. Mr. Spurgeon says this, and I'm calling this the Song of Godly Grief. He says this concerning the subject, and although I provided the title and division there for you in the handout, I'll just leave that to you to read on your own. It's well worth reading what Mr. Spurgeon writes about Psalm 102, which is one of my favorite psalms, obviously. He says this is a patriotic lament over his country's distress. He arrays himself in the griefs of his nation, as in a garment of sackcloth, and casts her dust and ashes upon his head as the ensigns and causes of his sorrow. He has his own private woes and personal enemies. He is moreover sore afflicted in body by sickness, but the miseries of his people cause him a far more bitter anguish. And this he pours out in an earnest, pathetic lamentation. That's a typo. It's not a typo. Not, however, without hope does the patriot mourn. He has faith in God and looks for the resurrection of the nation through the omnipotent favor of the Lord. This causes him to walk among the ruins of Jerusalem and to say with hopeful spirit, "No, Zion, thou shalt never perish. Thy sun is not set forever. Brighter days are in store for thee." End quote. It is in vain to inquire into the precise point of Israel's history, which thus stirred a patriot's soul. For many a time was the land oppressed, and at any of her sad seasons, this song and prayer would have been a most natural and appropriate utterance. I have a couple comments before we get to our devotional thought for Psalm 102, and we're only going to focus on a few verses, and then have a challenge for the young people and the young at heart, all the children of God. Notice that from verse 3 to verse 11 most particularly, and a little bit in verses 23 and 24, it's a prophetic utterance of the Lord Jesus Christ to come in his hanging upon the cross. I want to read them again if you consider the cross as I read them. "For my days are consumed like smoke." You know, 33 and a half years of age, hanging upon the cross. "And my bones are burned like a hearth." You know, his shoulders were dislocated and hyperextended from the sockets. Even his elbows were, as he stretched out upon the cross. "My heart is stricken and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread." There's an interesting thing there, that he's in so much pain and anguish upon the cross that he can't even think of of food. He can't even think of satisfying a hunger because the pain that he's suffering is so great. Because of the sound of my groaning, my bones cling to my skin. "I am like a pelican of the wilderness." Verse 6, "I am like a pelican of the wilderness. I am like an owl of the desert. I lie awake and am like a sparrow alone on the housetop." The desolation and the loneliness of the Lord Jesus Christ taking upon the sin of the world upon himself, whereas he cries out in Psalm 22, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Because he is doing this on his own. Desolate. And "my enemies reproach me all day long." In verse 8, "those who deride me swear an oath against me." You know, the mocking and the jeers that were going on at the cross as he hung. "For I have eaten ashes like bread and mingled my drink with weeping." Verse 10, "because of your indignation and your wrath, you have lifted me up and cast me away. My days are like a shadow that lengthens. I wither away like grass." And so we can consider also the wrath of God being poured out upon him from noon until 3. Wrath that is what we deserve, but he is taking it upon himself for our sakes. And it even mentions that his indignation and wrath. It heightens really the thing, the suffering and the grief that's going on even in Israel. Apart from Christ, it's a huge thing. But when we see that this is prophetic of what Christ would go through for us, then when we grieve, this patriot's lament, as Mr. Spurgeon says, we have a patriotic lament today. Things have changed as of today. A Democratic House, a Democratic Senate, and a Democratic President, and they want to progress things to a place where they're turning us into a socialist country. Socialism doesn't like Christianity. In fact, it hates us. And we might see some of this suffering ourselves in days to come. But this is what I'd like us to focus on in the verses 15 through 18 in Psalm 102. Verses 15 to 18 I'll read again. So the nations shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth your glory. For the Lord shall build up Zion. He shall appear in his glory. He shall regard the prayer of the destitute and shall not despise their prayer. Verse 18, this will be written for the generation to come, that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord. What a blessed passage of hope, following what we see as prophetic of the Lord Jesus Christ hanging upon the cross. And as a national prayer that we see, Psalm 102, I don't know, it's no mistake that the Lord allowed us to pause last week and have it today with the situation that's going on in America today. That the difficulty that our country is going through, and those that don't know the Lord, that may be as conservative as us, they're going to be in a worse predicament than we will, because we have this hope in verses 13 to 18. Verse 18, it's where it says, "This will be written for the generation to come, that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord." A people yet to be created will praise the Lord. It's speaking to us, and there is the groundwork laid for this devotional thought, that we were created to praise the Lord. But it's also prophetic, notice. It's prophetic of the time that Israel was going all through that, and it was prophetic of you and me. Because we are a people yet to be created, yet to be born, and we were made to praise the Lord. That we're born in a particular time, that it is 2,000 years since Jesus Christ came, and that we can praise with much more joy, much more exuberance, much more passion, because the Lord Jesus Christ has come, and it's not a mystery. It's not shrouded in mysterious language from the prophets. It's very clear that God became a man from the scriptures, and that the Holy Spirit has opened it up to us. So this has laid the groundwork for our rejoicing. Then, as it says, we do praise in this portion that we're looking forward to. He will regard our prayer. And so in verse 18, as it says that we, that the people yet to be created will praise the Lord. The greatest reason to praise the Lord is that God's grace has saved us. That God sent His only Son to take that suffering and that penalty and that wrath on our behalf and die a death that we may have life in His name. And that's a reason to rejoice, as it's commanded of us. But that command is one that I joyfully will undertake. Rejoice always, it says in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 16. Or in the Old King James Version, it says rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. I like that one too. I like the Old King James Version, where it uses those words. Rejoice evermore. More abundantly. It always just means to continue on, in my thinking. But when it says evermore, it means always, ever, and then more. The more that we're with the Lord, the more that we get to praise, the more that we can praise, because we're changing from glory to glory because of God's grace. And then finally, glory here. If you compare, as I read verses 15 to 18, and especially where it says a people yet to be created by the Lord, when you go back and forth from this, nations shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth your glory. It's prophetic of a time that is to come. And that's where it would have been more appropriate last week, because we had just, last week we were finishing up Revelation in our Robert Murray McShane reading. But I'm going to turn to Revelation chapter 19, last book of the Bible. Hey, any of you homeschoolers do any public school? The adults will know this then, that have gone to public school. In public school, especially in math class, in the math books, algebra book, the geometry book, the trigonometry book, the answers were in the back of the book. Odd numbers, odd numbered questions were in the back. So if you needed help, you could always go to the back in the math class. Revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ. You know what this book, this last book of the Bible is about? The same thing as all the books. All of them are about Jesus, from Genesis to Revelation. But Revelation actually tells you in the first sentence, the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's about Him. But in Revelation chapter 19, it says this and verses 1 through 8. After these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication. And he was avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. Again they said, Hallelujah! Her smoke rises up forever and ever. In verse 4, the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God, who sat on the throne saying, Amen, Hallelujah. Now, they're the heavenly chorus. They're saying the same thing as the multitudes upon the earth. Hallelujah. So it's been said by us, by the multitude, twice. And then in verse 5, it says, Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you his servants and those who fear him, both small and great. In verse 6, I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. There again, the heavenly chorus speaks up. And verse 7, Let us be glad and rejoice, give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And verse 8, to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of saints. There's a people yet to be created. That might even be us, awaiting the last days. And then when the Lord Jesus returns, we'll have a threefold hallelujah. It says alleluia in the Greek, but it's just a transliteration of Hallelujah. Hallelujah means praise the Lord. Hallel, praise. Yah is the shortened name of the Lord, Jehovah. Praise the Lord. And actually a form of it is in Psalm 102, where it says that they shall praise the Lord. But we find it in Psalm 104, Psalm 115, where it actually says, praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord in the Old King James Version. When you see in the Psalms where it says, praise ye the Lord, it's the Hebrew words, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And in Revelation, it's just the Greek rendering of hallelujah, which means praise the Lord. And so here's my challenge to the young people especially, but all of us, the young at heart. This is our challenge. The Holy Spirit challenges us in this devotional challenge. Psalm 102, verse 27, But you are the same, and your years will have no end. That's the psalmist speaking of who? He's speaking of Jesus. He's speaking of God. Although difficulties arise, because we see this in Psalm 102, although there's trouble, tribulation, difficulties that arise, right? Though situations and circumstances change, and though wickedness seems to prevail around us, Jesus does not change. Now, young people, you've been memorizing the attributes of God through Sister Vicki, there's a word that starts with I that means does not change. Do you remember what it is? Immutable. Very good, Brad. That's absolutely right. Immutable. And also that he lives forever. There's another word that starts with I. What is that one? You remember? He does not change, is immutable, but there's another I word that it's in your memory verses that means he lives forever. It's not everlasting because that begins with an E, but this one begins with an I. Now I can't remember what it is. It's immortal. Yeah, I you did in the original, and so I listed it too. So Micah 3, verse 6 says that the Lord says, I do not change, right? And then another one that you should have had memorized, I think some of you have it memorized, Hebrews 13:8. For Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So because some things might get difficult, some things might get hard, your lessons in your schoolwork might get hard, things might be tough. You might have a bad day. Jesus is the same and you can always trust in him, which is the second point. You can trust in an immutable. What does immutable mean? Does not change. And immortal, it means that he lives forever. Immortal God, because he is consistent in all he does and all he commands, for he cannot lie. Psalm 100 verse 5 is one of your memory verses too. Does anybody have that memorized? I think that's Psalm 100 verse 5, which is God does not lie, and that he is, what is it? He's true, trustworthy. That he's trustworthy, I think. So some of you might not have got to the T's. Alright, Psalm 100 verse 5 says, that the Lord, he is good, his mercy is everlasting, his truth endures forever. I think that's the New King James Version. See, I'm trying to learn the New King James Version just like you guys, so. And then Titus 1 verse 2, it says that God who cannot lie. I'll just shorten that. And then we were made to praise. Ephesians 5 verse 19, which isn't one of your memory verses, says, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart unto the Lord. So that is a command unto us that when we praise, it's not just to praise God, like when we're in private or when we come to church, that we should speak to one another in songs and hymns and spiritual songs. Just talking, in a way, is to praise God when we're speaking of him to one another. And you can do so with a melody in your heart. You don't have to actually sing it to somebody. Like, Brent, the Lord is forever. I don't have to sing that to you. I could just say, the Lord is forever, Brent. And have it within my heart. Or Brielle. I'm with the bees right now. I'll get to all of you eventually. But we were made to praise the Lord because praising God is the greatest benefit to mankind. And this, I know, is one of your memory verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all unto the glory of God. Or all to the glory of God, excuse me, in the New King James Version.